Digital Music. Digital Music Trends, episode 82, 27th of May 2011. Hello everyone and welcome to Digital Music Trends. The podcast was meant to go up yesterday as usual, but a flight cancellation meant I didn't have enough time or indeed access to Wi-Fi to do it. But the show must go on, so I'm here in Mannheim this weekend for the Future Music Camp organized by the Pop Academy, which is a very unique structure here in Germany, where they teach both music and music business university courses. And they're also about to start their very own MA course as well. So more on that in the next show, where we'll hopefully have some good stuff to talk about from these next couple of days. But this week I have a very extensive interview with the What News founder and We Are Hunted co-founder, Stephen Phillips. I featured We Are Hunted on the second episode of Digital Music Trends just a week after the site went live, so it's a real pleasure to see them doing such great things 2 years on. Also today, I wanted to mention a couple of alternative tools to listen to the show. A great way to listen to podcasts is, if you have a smartphone, is via apps. So there's two that I want to recommend. One is called Downcast and the second one is called Podcaster. And they're both fantastic applications that automatically check for new episodes. With Downcast, you can set how frequently that will happen. So they can look for a new episode every 6 hours, every 12 hours, or every 24 hours, for example. And it will be downloaded automatically to your phone. It's a much easier way to enjoy the shows you like without having to go through the whole download on iTunes on your computer and then sync with a wire process that most of us forget to do on a regular basis. Also, keep in mind that the podcast is available on SoundCloud, so on top of being able to stream it wherever you are, you can also download it and access it through a plethora of other apps that tap into the SoundCloud API. But enough podcasting talk, and let's get to the core of the show, which is, of course, this week's interview. So today I'm really happy to welcome to the show Stephen Phillips, co-founder of We Are Hunted and also founder of What News. So Stephen, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm well.
I wanted to start by introducing We Are Hunted. I've had Nick on the show, Nick Crocker, founder of the company as well, on the show in April 2009, which is over 2 years ago, when I first started the show. But assuming that people haven't really heard that episode, could you start by briefly introducing We Are Hunted and what you guys do?
Okay, so We Are Hunted is one of the world's biggest indie music sites. The purpose of the site was basically the same today as it was when we started, and that was try and work out what of the new music that's been released recently, what are the most popular songs in the world right now, and work that out by basically indexing what people are talking about, so what they're talking about on social networks. The idea behind the site is to try and that people would visit once a day and that within the first 3 or 4 pages of the site they'd find someone new that they'd never heard before that they would love to go and buy music or interact with in a deeper way. So that's kind of been was the idea at the very start, and we've tried to stay true to that in the way that the site works and the way that it looks.
And in terms of how the company, you know, started out and, you know, the first iteration of the company, so how would you describe that?
So you mentioned What News, which is the company that I founded a year before We Are Hunted was started. And I started that literally in my garage. I've been a programmer for 15 years, built hundreds of sites in agencies and different things like that. And I'd always wanted to try my luck and do my own thing. So while I was working in another agency, I started to build a news site where I had an idea, because one of the things I was doing as part of my job is I had to go and do a lot of market research style stuff about what other companies were doing and people were doing. And so I just wrote some code to build that. And it was basically a news aggregation app, which would then go and try and do basic linguistic stuff to try and work out, is this person talking about this person or this company, and aggregate that data in a way that showed what was trending. So I built that really for myself and shared it with a few people, and it took off like within literally here in Australia, because as far as Australian business news went, it was really only Google News, and that for an Australian audience is a very American focused service. So I literally had, in the first month I launched a site, I had 100,000 people there going there to read the news and work out who was being trending, and lots of share trade type people, a lot of stock market type people. I ran it by myself from home for 6 months. A guy I knew who worked at What If, which is a big success, .com one success story. They went public, made the founder, Graham Wood, a very rich man, said that Graham was now leaving the company after 8 years and he was looking for new adventures. And he hooked me up with him, and literally over the lunch, he decided to buy half the company and get involved. So I had my money man that I needed, and I had the flexibility to go and hire anyone I wanted to hire. And I went back and hired the best of the best guys I'd ever worked with in the last 15 years in the web space here in Australia, brought them together as a team. We then built What News out to be, which is one of the biggest news sites here, and it wins awards as the best Australian news site for business and things like that. So anyway, I was about a year later, I was speaking at something, and Nick Crocker was there, and he was consulting to EMI, and he was a music reviewer and a music guy, and saw what we were doing and said, you should try this in music and try and work out what the kids are listening to today and what's hot and what's not. And we said, all right, we'll give that a go. And literally 4 weeks later, we put a site up, and it was supposed to be a demo site.
Yeah.
Someone leaked it to Elliot Van Brunswick at Wired, who just loved it. He wrote about it, and then it took off, and everybody started. I think within 24 hours, it was on Rewrite Web and TechCrunch, and it was everywhere.
Yeah.
And we weren't expecting it. We weren't ready for it. It was kind of crazy. We then scrambled for 3 months to try and turn it into a real site, because it wasn't at that launch point a real site. But I think that two things became quickly quite clear, that people resonated with the idea that the social web could tell us something about new music.
Yeah.
They loved that idea. And they loved the simple visual nature that we tried where we could just to build something that we wanted to use that was clean and simple and made it easy. That it was just you and the artist and the music, that it wasn't a lot of other stuff. And those two things seemed to become our signatures, and we've tried to keep true to that over the last 2 years or as we've developed the site.
So we
built it out. The first 3 months of the site's life was us scurrying to try and turn what we promised into a reality, and we stopped working on What News. Everybody in the company started working on Hunted. It was clear that the traffic grew quite quickly to eclipse what anything we were doing in Australia, and that we made lots of connections. It was really cool. We've been privileged to see how the news industry works versus the music industry, and
yeah.
The music industry is a much friendlier place and nicer place. People were coming, all the big sites came out of the woodwork and connected with us and said they liked the site and liked the idea, and we got to meet lots of people and got lots of help. We then had our first kind of major, when the site first launched, it was powered by YouTube as its audio provider.
Yeah.
And we'd been a bit naughty, and we'd only used the audio from YouTube, not the video. So we'd broken the YouTube's terms of service.
Yeah.
So Google blocked us. So our site went offline for about 3 days until we found a new provider. We switched to MySpace during that period.
Yeah.
There was a big recovery from that. So we ended up meeting the guys at YouTube, who then turned it back on, and we changed the way the site worked. So for a while there, Hunted had video as well as audio. But we always wanted it to be an audio experience. So it's always been a constant, until we sold it about a year ago, the first year of our life, was constantly seeking a source of music that we could legally play that meant we didn't have to be the ones hosting the music and dealing with all the issues that are evolving around that.
Yeah.
So in that vibe, we took the data that we were collecting about what was hot right now, and we built a playlist in Spotify so that you can go to spotify.beahunter.com and you'll see a playlist of the hottest songs in the world right now that are playable on Spotify. And we did the same for Grooveshark, and it was purely us trying to get the data we had out onto some platform that people could listen to it.
Sure.
We did the same with Boxy as well. And they were quite popular. I think I've been told, even though we're in Australia, so we don't have Spotify, but we've been told that it's a very popular playlist on Spotify.
Yeah, sure.
The Grooveshark one's pretty popular too. So that was the first year of our life. It was just maturing the site, starting to fix the issues around the audio, and it's making the engine much more smoother and fixing the UI around it. So that was the first year of our life.
Yeah, it's interesting because of the simplicity of the design of the site as well, you had to keep true to that simplicity that users loved. And at the same time, you were doing a lot of stuff on the back end to improve the experience for the user as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's like it's both a blessing and a curse having a simple UI, that we're kind of locked into. We have to keep that experience when there's so many other features people want us to do.
Yeah.
But in the end, it does force us to, in our second year, or the second phase of what we did, we focused very much along allowing people to create their own charts and to connect with other members on the site and bring in community elements of that, but we did it, we tried to do it in such a way that was consistent with the original design.
Yeah.
So the second phase was very much about, we introduced continuous play to the site, which was a fairly large project. We'd kind of never really, by switching to MySpace, who had a limited catalogue, hadn't really solved the problem. And one of the things about Hunted, because all the music that we find is being on torrents or is being shared on blogs, particularly music blogs, and this is music that doesn't exist on iTunes and it's not on, you know, MySpace.
Yeah.
We still had the continuing problem of where do we stream music from, and we knew that it was available on people's blogs, but we didn't want to stream it from people's servers. That didn't seem fair. It wasn't the way that we wanted to operate.
Sure.
So until SoundCloud came along, we were trying to continue to reach out to people that we could work out how to stream the audio. And we became, during that period, much closer to MySpace. And we entered a developer challenge at the start of 2010, I think. And we did a radio station that was built on MySpace's real-time engine. It was a radio station programmed by what users were listening to across MySpace, and it ended up being some crazy mix of hip hop and country that probably wasn't great to listen to. But as a technical feat, it was kind of cool. So we did that, and we streamed it out over Android, iOS, on the web, and delivered it all as part of a developer challenge. It was funny that we didn't win, which we wanted to win because it was $100,000, but we didn't win because one of the terms of the competition was we weren't allowed to use audio, which we should have read probably, but it seemed funny us entering an app and not using audio because that's what we do. But anyway, it had the desired effect, and the desired effect was we wanted to get closer to MySpace to get some better deal with what was going on with their audio. The senior guys connected with us, and 3 or 4 months later they contacted us and asked us to build MySpace's first iPad app, and that was because they loved the design of Hunted and they saw technically we had some skills, and so they contacted us basically out of the blue. The Mike Jones CEO contacted us and said, this iPad thing's going to be big, and we want to have something on there, and you guys could do a music app for us. So we were given 8 weeks. No one had done any iOS development before. But our guys are all fairly experienced programmers, so we quickly did it, and it was a bit of a success, and we got close to MySpace. But a lot of the second year were involved around our relationship with them. They paid us well to build that for them. We developed continuous play on our site. We switched to SoundCloud as it came across. We continued. The biggest internal project for Hunted was adding the community features to the site, which meant that users could see other people who were on the site, and they could basically, the idea that you could connect with other people, and if you were going to discover music, not only does our main chart, which has what's popular now, but you could go and find people who are like you and see what type of music they liked as well and discover music that way. And that's continued to grow. We have a constant stream of people signing up every day. And the last thing we did is we sit on such a huge amount of data, and it seems funny that to always seems strange to us that it's the way it's surfaced is in this tiled, clean, white UI when we're sitting on so much data we aggregate. I think we do like 20 million tweets a month or something at the moment, and we're doing thousands of blog articles and all this other stuff we index. And so we decided to release research reports to artists so that they could start to see some of the data that we collect. And so we released that during that year as well. And that was really cool for us because it meant, and it felt good that we were able to somehow give back to the artists who were using the site as well, share some of this data with them, and all the labels and the indie labels and the major labels all connected with us and liked to use it. We just gave that data away basically. We had a project we ran for 2 months where we worked out a framework and designed the reports of what they do, and so every quarter now we release those, which gives a really good bump for the site. But it also, I think, you know, we're sensitive to the way the industry is, and we honestly are trying to, like everybody else is, trying to find the way forward. And we wanted to show everybody that we're happy to share the data we have, and we want people to try and buy the music that we have, and we wanted to. It was just some part of for us to be able to participate and give back a bit to the artists who make, you know, our site possible.
So the interesting part, in terms of desktop presence, you were really widespread at that point, and the fact that you created the MySpace iPad app probably gave the expertise to start exploring options for mobile as well. So is that how you started out actually looking at the tablet space and how to develop for it?
Yeah, that's right. Because a lot of it was clear that we had to be mobile. It's such a boon for, in a business sense, for music. It seemed to be the, you know, we're like everybody else in the space and looking for, you know, where the money is going to come from here. We can do a million people a month on Hunted, but monetizing those people and, you know, to support the size of the company that we are is really difficult. It's still easy for us to monetize the news side, stranger than the music side. People buy music, but, you know, through affiliates like iTunes doing 5 cents a track, you got to sell a lot of music at 5 cents a track to pay for the servers even that we run. And it seemed to us that we didn't want, I suppose, the obvious thing was we could run ads on Hunted and we could smother it in ads and do all that stuff. And, you know, we might do that at some point, but it seemed that one of the strengths we have was the cleanliness of the UI, and to then mess it up with inappropriate advertising probably wasn't a good way forward. So we were always trying to look for another way to do that, and the way that it looked like mobile could be the way. The iPhone was really popular. The iPad looked like it was going to be hot. The problem we had was because it wasn't our music and because it was SoundCloud and it's not our blog content, it's not our whatever, we couldn't really go in with, and we still can't really, and we don't feel comfortable about it, going as a pure We Are Hunted app. We didn't think, given what we knew about Apple, we didn't think it was going to happen. We didn't think we'd ever have any chance of getting through the App Store. I think today that might be slightly different. We're seeing other people like the Hype Machine get their stuff through, and maybe that's changing. But when we started on the journey a year ago doing iOS development in earnest, we just felt we couldn't do Hunted. We couldn't bring our brand there yet until we could. We didn't want to go in there half-baked. We wanted to deliver the same experience. So we started to come up with other ideas. We worked with other people. We worked with other people's content. So the first one we did is we'd reached out to the Echo Nest guys who were announcing around that time that they had a deal stitched up with 7Digital in London, which meant that we could do licensed samples, licensed photos, licensed music basically, and do it on the iPhone legally and get through. And that seemed to be the only people we could find who were letting us do that. There's more than that now. RDO's just announced an API that lets us do that in the US as well. But at that time, we're talking October last year, they were the only option. So we teamed up and we signed a 3-app deal with Echo Nest where we would use their platform rather than our own. We would use their platform and we'd use 7Digital as the media partner, and we would design and build the apps. And we've since done 5 apps. We've done the first one that we actually released, we did for fun, was a little app called Pocket Hipster where we kind of always get a lot of emails of people calling Hunted Hipster Paradise, so we thought we'd have some fun with that. We basically started, and we did it in 2 months, and we just had this idea that it'd be cool if you could have a hipster and carry it around your pocket, and when you wanted someone to tell you how much your music sucked, you could launch it and he would tell you that, and then he would tell you what you should listen to. And the idea kind of stuck, and we thought it would be fun, something to do first and quirky. And so we did that, and it was really surprising when we launched how much flack we got from people who were insulted by the character, and and we couldn't believe how people were so insulted by a cartoon. People seriously upset by the app, and that was a bit surprising to us. They just clearly didn't. We meant it to be humorous, you know. And
I don't know if you've ever walked around East London.
I haven't. How close were we to guessing what?
Very close. Very close.
Because we were only doing it from stuff you see on the. Well, we've got hipsters here in Brisbane too, but I'm sure your hipster ratio or hipster density is much higher than ours.
Yeah.
But we found it. The idea behind the app was we weren't mocking them. Part of that culture is being ironic and self-deprecating, and that's what we were trying to capture, that they would find this funny as anyone else. The app's done really well for us in that we wanted to try and do something different and we wanted to do something funny. I think we've proven that, to be fair, it's done well here in Australia and it's also done well in the UK. It hasn't done well at all in the US. I think maybe culturally the humour's probably not American friendly.
Definitely.
So anyway, we've got this idea that music apps may, you know, why don't music apps have personality? Why can't we have fun with that style of thing? Not every app just has to be an iTunes clone, you know, or an iPod clone. And we're sticking by that and we're going to try different things. We've got some more apps coming out now that take that idea even further. over the next couple of months, and we're going to see if one of them will stick. And if anyone kind of thinks about hipster and imagines what it could be in another genre, they'll probably know what we are going to do next. So we released that with them. We've got another app that we just submitted called Supersonic, which is a music app, again, a recommendation one built on the Echonest engine for the iPhone. And we released one that did really well for us 2 weeks ago. We released a one called Hunter, which is only cover art and samples, which is all we could get licensed for, which was a real shame for us. But the brief was, can we do it slick, fast, make it easy? And we had to work with what we've got, the only thing we could be licensed with. So a lot of the design of that app is purely a restriction of what content we had. We didn't have much to work with, and that's kind of the best we could do. And likewise, we've had lots of praise from bloggers who enjoy it, and Apple supporters really well on it. It went to number 2 in the App Store in the music chart everywhere in the world for about a week. It even broke into the top 5 overall in countries all around the world. The response was really good. But the public response was mixed, because a lot of people didn't like the fact it was samples. A lot of people thought we were, you know, the general public don't understand the licensing problems. They don't understand that the reason it's samples isn't because we're trying to rip you off. It's because we can't get it licensed. And, you know, people are saying, well, I can listen to full tracks on Hunted. Why are you making me listen to 30-second samples on my phone? And we can't say, you know, it's hard to explain the legal issues around why we can do it on this platform and not this platform and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
As an experience, again, it was good. We learned a lot from we now know what being in the very top of the music chart on the App Store means on the iPad and the iPhone. And I think Hipster got to number 7 in the US on the store as well, and went to number 2 here in Australia and a bunch of other countries. It did really well in Denmark for some reason. It did very well in Ireland as well. So that's what we've been doing. We've been doing apps. And now we're switching away from iPhone onto Android. We're going to get serious about Android over the next 6 months, because we haven't really tried that space. It seems to be growing very quickly, and we're going to be doing more Android and iOS stuff. And we've had probably the next 3-6 months, we'll be focusing much more back on Hunter the site. It really took off around December last year. We doubled, and then in the last month or so, we've doubled again. And so there seems to be real traction around the site. And we're going to invest again back in the site too. There's a bunch of features that our most popular users want to have added that we're going to be building out, and just try and keep that momentum. I don't know where we sit in the landscape at the moment, but traffic-wise, we must be one of the biggest indie sites in the world now, I'd assume.
Yeah.
Without knowing what other people do, but we're doing around 1 million or more now, which is pretty cool. And it feels like a great time to be in the industry with what Google's doing and what Amazon are doing and Apple are about to do. And it feels like finally that someone's trying to disrupt the whole thing and force everyone to the table. Smaller companies like us are cheering that on. Someone's got to do something.
And the license situation must be really frustrating for you guys, because there are a number of services that provide, you know, APIs, and, you know, RDO is one of the ones that is doing one of the most interesting things in that respect, because I was talking to Drew Larner a few weeks ago, and they end up in a revenue sharing partnership with the companies that build for their platform, in the sense that, you know, if you had a Hunter app just for the US in partnership with RDO and got people to subscribe to RDO via the app, then you would get a revenue share of that. But naturally, that's limited to a specific territory, because there is no one service that covers the world. And possibly Spotify is one of the services that covers most countries within Europe, but it doesn't offer that kind of API functionality, I don't think, as of yet. So do you think there's a solution for you guys in terms of licensing in the short term? Or is there anything on the horizon that you think might help you provide, you know, the full tracks to the users?
US for sure. What RDO is doing is a super smart move from them to be able to offer an API to solve this problem for us. But it'll help us, but it's going to open, I think, the floodgates on 1,000 smaller developers who are going to be able to build apps on their platform. Yeah. And they're going to be able to offer samples. And if you're an audio company, audio customer, it's full length tracks, which is a really compelling thing.
Definitely.
And I think they're going to deliver what Echonest have been promising. Echonest have been building this API, and they talk about a foundation that will allow developers to flourish and grow and have 1,000 apps. But until you bring RDO, who bring licenses and bring customers and bring authentication and all of that stuff, until someone brings that to the party, now it's a real deal now, and developers have something to do. Sure, it's US only, but on the numbers we see, US, for us at least, is 90% or more of our market, yep. No matter what we do. So it would be great to be strong in Europe as well, but it's a great start. Let's see what RDO is doing. And, yeah, once we get organized, we'll probably switch all of our apps to using them. It just makes sense. Because we don't see another way of getting licensed. We just can't see it. Unless Mog do it too, and Apple do it. I can't see Apple doing it. Maybe Google will do it. They had their locker, but it's a locker service. It's not what we need.
Yeah, exactly. You need a license service, and it's incredible that there's a company, for example, like Rhapsody, that's been on the market for years in the US. And RDO is the first company to actually action something like this.
Yeah, that's right. It's one of those things when you run a company. Like everyone says, you need an API. You need an API. But it's hard to probably to understand how you might monetize that. How it will make sense. And it will be very. It would have been a hard sell, I think, probably to the senior guys at RDO. Whether this will work and it's worth the effort. But it'll be very interesting to see how it goes. I think it's a great move. And other people will do it as well. Yep. Echonest, if they can get two or three like that and they become the switchboard between Amog and RDO and all the developer community to do it, I think it'll work really well. Yep. Someone will slot in. The 7Digital guys already have their catalog available, but they're not streaming it yet, but I know that they are working on it. So there is the UK won't be left out by any means, and 7Digital will be the partner over there, I'm sure.
Cool. Well, people should really check out wearehunted.com. I mean, I assume most people that listen to the podcast will probably have already. And also check out the Hunter app and the Pocket Hipster app on the iPad, because they're really cool and really good fun to play with. And you also have a Twitter account. It's @wearehunted, right?
That's right.
Perfect. Well, it was great having you on the show, and I look forward to speaking again, probably, hopefully, less than in 2 years' time.
Very, I hope so as well.
Well, I really hope you enjoyed the show. As usual, you can look up the website at www.digitalmusictrends.com for more information and to check out the back catalogue of interviews, which is quite extensive. And you can also follow me on Twitter. The handle is DGMusicTrends. Have a great week, and till next time. Digital music. Digital music.